In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Brothers and sisters, today's gospel describes the familiar account of the woman at the well, who was a Samaritan woman. And the gospel spends a long time on her story. It has been said that this is the longest individual conversation recorded in any of the gospels with Jesus. Why? Up to that point, this woman had led a sinful life, one which resulted in a rebuke from Jesus. However, she responded to his stern words with genuine repentance, was forgiven her sinful ways, and became a convert to the Christian faith, taking the name Photini at her baptism, which means the enlightened one. And Photini isn't just some convert, but a highly significant figure in the early church, who holds a special place of honor among early church figures. The church officially refers to her as Great Martyr Photini, the evangelist and the equal to the apostles. In many homilies from the early centuries of the church, Saint Photini is compared to the other male apostles and was even found to surpass some of them. Let's take a look at her life. At Holy Pentecost, the first Pentecost, she received baptism along with her five sisters who took the names Anatole, Photo, Fotis, Paraskevi, and Kyriaki, and her two sons, Photinos and Joseph. She then began a missionary career, traveling far and wide, preaching the good news of the Messiah's coming, of his death, and of his resurrection. When the emperor, Nero, began to persecute the early church, Photini and her son Joseph were in Carthage, in North Africa, preaching the gospel there. And there, Jesus appeared to Photini in a dream and told her to sail for Rome. Her son and many new Christians from Africa accompanied her. Their arrival aroused curiosity in Rome. Everyone was asking, who is this woman who came with a crowd of followers and is preaching Christ with such boldness? Word, of course, made its way to the emperor, who ordered her to be brought in for questioning. But before any soldiers could arrest her, Photini herself and her friends marched straight to Nero's palace. When the emperor saw them, he asked why they'd come. And she answered, "We have come to teach you to believe in Jesus Christ." The half-mad ruler of the Roman Empire, who was already greatly persecuting the church, didn't seem to frighten this woman in the least. In fact, here she was, trying to convert him. After learning all of their names, Nero demanded to know whether they had all agreed to die for the Nazarene. And Photini replied on their behalf, "Yes, we rejoice in his love, and will gladly die in his name." Hearing these words, Nero ordered their hands to be beaten with iron rods. However, the saints felt no pain, and nothing happened to their hands. No wounds appeared. Photini, during this time, joyfully quoted the words of Psalm 118, "With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can man do to me?" Perplexed by their endurance and confidence, Nero ordered the men among them thrown into jail. Meanwhile, Photini and her five sisters were brought into the palace. These six women were seated on thrones before a large table covered with gold coins, jewels, fine dresses. Nero then ordered his own daughter, Domnina, to try to persuade these Christian women to deny their God with the promise of many earthly treasures. And the women talked for a number of days. But the outcome wasn't what Nero had anticipated. Fotini, in Nero's palace, catechized Domnina and all of her servants and immediately baptized them all. She gave the name Anthusa to Nero's daughter. And after her baptism, Anthusa immediately ordered all of the gold and jewels that Nero had assembled on the table to be distributed amongst the poor in Rome. When the emperor heard that his own daughter had converted to Christianity, he was exceedingly angry, and he condemned Fotini and all those with her to death by fire. And so they were all thrown into a furnace, which burned unopened for 7 days. When the door of the furnace finally was opened, everyone was astonished to see that the fire hadn't harmed the saints at all. So the emperor next tried to kill them with poison. And Fotini offered to be the first one to drink it, saying, "I will drink this poison so that you might see the power of God." And everyone drank the poison, and no one suffered any harm. Nero then subjected Fotini and her sisters and her sons and their friends to every torture he could think of, and they survived every one unscathed. So they were thrown back into prison, and for 3 years they were held there, during which time Saint Fotini transformed that prison into a house of God where many prisoners were converted. And not only that, many Romans who visited the prison were also converted. Finally, Nero had all of these saints, except Fotini, beheaded. Now Fotini grieved that she was alone and had not received the crown of martyrdom together with her sisters and sons. So she prayed again and again that the Lord would now release her from this life. One night, Christ appeared to her and made the sign of the cross over her 3 times. This vision filled her with joy, and some few days later, Saint Fotini was thrown into a dry well and gave her soul into God's hands. Now, across all the generations, on the 5th Sunday of Great and Holy Pascha, in such a position of honor, during the greatest festal season of the church year, the church honors the power of Jesus Christ and his gospel in the life of this once sinful woman, showing a power of redemption and the power of the resurrection that obliterates all darkness, showing her truly to be Fotini, a child of light. And across all generations, the whole church sings this hymn in her memory. Illumined by the Holy Spirit, all glorious one, from Christ the Savior, you drank the water of salvation. And having received the same in abundance, you brought it also to those who thirsted. O great martyr Fotini, equal to the apostles, you proclaimed the gospel unto all and have hastened to the heavenly city. Intercede with Christ our God that he may grant us great mercy. Brothers and sisters, this woman who was a sinner and who for decades had lived a dissolute life was filled with deep passions that blotted out health and life from her. When she met Jesus at the well, she didn't just hear a message and accept some new ideas in her mind. Meeting Jesus Christ changed her entire life from the top to the bottom. To put it in our modern context, she didn't hold on to a bunch of her past ideas, be they Jewish or Protestant or pagan, or American, or what have you. She ran straight to Christ, was baptized on Holy Pentecost, and set her priorities entirely around him and the community of his holy church. She started over from the beginning. Saint Theophan the Recluse says that when one decides to follow Jesus, there is, he says, an urgent need. to establish a new pattern of life immediately from the very start. He says that the beginning of Christian life is the hardest part because it requires that we throw away a lot of our own ideas about what life is, how life should proceed, about what Christianity is, who God is, and how we are living, that we must change our lives and our hearts. And these changes, he says, are painful because we're attached to our old way of life and our old ideas. But this period, this painful period, even this intensely painful period, should be, he writes, brief in duration. Stop living by the old ideas and patterns. Ask lots of questions of the priest, of mature members of the community, about what life in Christ looks like, about the path that our Lord himself has laid out for our salvation, what it looks like, how we do it, and so forth. No Orthodox Christian in history simply shows up on Sunday morning and calls themselves a Christian. We walk with Christ day by day, putting him first in all things, and we gather as a community of prayer often, and we put him first in the raising of our children. Someone just recently asked Metropolitan Saba of the Antiochian Church whether the Orthodox Church in America should have one jurisdiction under one patriarchate. Brothers and sisters, listen to his reply. Many now say that we should have one Orthodox patriarchate in North America. That's right, but it cannot be done now, because we still need to be rooted in orthodoxy. We need an American people rooted in orthodoxy. And until now, many, many, the majority, maybe more than 95% of the spiritual fathers and the spiritual centers are not real American. They're immigrants. We need time to have an American people who are born in America, that become monks and nuns and become spiritual fathers, rooted in the Orthodox spiritual life and tradition, to help us. So, the more we have spiritual fathers and mothers, and the more we are rooted in orthodoxy, the more we prepare the way for this one church on this continent. Close quote. Sainte Fotini and her family give us a beautiful model of what it means to repent, to give one's life to Christ, and to live as true Christians, putting Jesus Christ first in all things. Through the prayers of this Holy Mother, may our Lord help us to bear witness in our land to his great and holy gospel, to the truth that sets men free, and to the glory of his holy name. Amen.